Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM, your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. And what happened this week? Well, Bitcoin dropped below 3,700 after flirting just several days ago with 4,100. Messaging apps Facebook, Telegram, and Signal are working on their own cryptocurrencies, according to the New York Times. And hashtag delete Coinbase gained steam over Coinbase acquiring the company Neutrino. All that, and what does an announcement by U.S. supermarket chain Kroger's have to do with cryptocurrency? Well, we'll sort through all that in just a moment. And let's see who's in the studio with us today. Well, if you recognize that theme, that's because you're a regular listener or listener of the podcast of Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew that comes on right before us here on WWPR 1490 AM live on Mondays at 4 o'clock or on demand at SeekingCryptos.com. And that, of course, would mean that Andrew, a.k.a. Andy, is in the house. Hey, Andy.
Good afternoon, Henry. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Well, let's see if we dug up anybody else here this week. What we've been looking for around the studio here is our own personal lunatic back in the studio, Augie. Hey, Augie, how you doing?
Hey, Henry, it's a wild, wild, crazy world, and lunacy is my game.
Well, that's what I've heard. All right, so, Andy, we were talking about, if you were listening to the Talking Market Show, you would have heard the wrap-up about Bitcoin. So let's go right into the news of the day.
I tell you, I've got news for you.
Well, Bitcoin dropped to a six-day low below $3,700 and has taken the shine off Bullish's long-tailed doji, which I'm sure Andy will explain to us whatever that means.
There's a long-tailed doji?
Yeah, like not a doggy, a doji.
Oh, okay, doji.
I guess that's something important, and as we speak, let me quickly take a look here.
3,705.
So it was, just seemed like yesterday we were close to 3,900. Well, I guess it was yesterday.
Yeah, well, you know, it was floating around that 3,800 area for a few days, and, you know, it's just been really doing nothing.
What's
it's
a doggy? What's a doggy? Is that a cowboy?
Is a candlestick. It's a candlestick that has a tail on the top, a tail on the bottom, and a small body.
So it's like the women.
You know, it's got a.
So it's a spike in the graph, and you call it.
No. It's just you have a tail to the upside, a candle wick to the upside.
Whatever the period of the candle.
Yeah, whatever the period of day. So it'll be a candle wick to the upside, a candle wick to the downside, and a thin-bodied open
so
and close.
So does it mean it has a long tail on both sides, or it could have one or
well,
both?
Well, you know, it's usually a shorter tail for a doji.
Okay.
So,
all right. Well,
I mean, there's other, you know, doji's just
what
kind
these
of like,
people say.
Yeah,
what
you get a pin bar. I don't know. I'm looking at it here and I'm going, what doji? What doji? I don't see no doji.
What does the co-founder of ThinkCryptos.com and the host of Talking Markets say?
Well, you know, I think we've expected a pullback here. It really hasn't been doing nothing. This is clear. You have the end of a third wave. And fourth waves are very usually three-legged corrections. And so, you know, we expected another wave down. In very bullish markets, you sometimes get a V formation where it just kind of pulls back and then just continues higher, but we're not in that type of market yet.
So if you're listening to the end of Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew, you would have heard me really exposing my heart to the audience with my fear of accumulation of Bitcoin, because I've read these, it's going to take another huge dive, one of those trademark Bitcoin dropping 30-40% in an hour, and it seems like the perfect time for it to happen because I'm ready to accumulate it. So should I be afraid that we're going to have the same thing out of the accumulation that happened for 4, 5, 6 months around 6,000, and now we've been around 3,600, 3,500, 3,800 for 3-4 months? It just seems like all I have to do is put money into it, and it's going to happen again to
me. Yeah.
It all depends on
your risk tolerance, Henry.
It
all depends on your risk tolerance. If you got $1.5 million for your house, I mean, you just sit there and take a little bit off and throw it in Bitcoin. That's
so
all.
Like if I got $1.5 million for the house, put $1 million in.
That's right. Go all in.
Right now.
Shove it in. Yeah.
Because I can move the market. My demand will shove it up.
You would definitely move the market.
And then I can cash out before everybody realizes what I'm doing.
Yeah, you could absolutely probably do that. You could probably do that. But no, I mean, adding a little
idea.
Bit here. And when I say a little bit, if you have $10,000 you're looking to put in here, add maybe $800, $1,200. There's no need to go all in.
Now, something I remember from the Talking Market show, rather than me saying I want to own 2 Bitcoin, I should think about it in dollar terms.
That's correct. Yeah, instead of saying, let's say I want to, instead of you have $10,000, instead of saying, okay, I'm going to buy a half of Bitcoin here and another half if it pulls back, look at it as dollar increments. I'm going to buy $1,200 here or $2,500 here
based
if it pulls
on
back.
My That's available correct. Funds that I want to be invested.
Based on your available funds, because that dollar cost averaging, when you're using dollar investing, it's in buying in dollar allocations, it really compounds reduction.
I should, as I look at that, I should decide on the percentage of my dollars
That's correct.
That I want in cryptocurrency and figure out what that dollar amount is. And then decide on my
That's
actions.
Right. And then take the rest of that money and throw it in Boeing when Boeing pulls back to about 350.
Right.
Then you're done.
Let me ask.
Or a restaurant.
Or a restaurant, yeah. Yeah.
You got one good one for me?
Yeah,
What were you saying, Augie?
I follow Russian television, RT, quite a bit.
Where did they let you watch that?
Pardon me?
Where did they let you watch that?
On Dish TV.
Oh.
And there's a program called Boom and Bust, and he's on in the noontime hour, roughly there. And he's been reporting on Bitcoin in terms of Hong Kong. And the banks of Hong Kong are regulating it very seriously and making it part of their general transactions. So they basically say because it's regulated, because they build trust in it, there's going to be a use factor that goes up quite a bit.
So is Augie turning the tables here? Is he becoming a believer?
Well, I'm following people who believe in regulation. I'm always a believer in that. If Bitcoin becomes a factor in terms of regulation, I might be interested, but not until that.
Well, let's go off on an aside here, outside what I've normally got here, because you watch RT on Dish Network, and I think RT is one of the things that Facebook is now censoring their post, or the algorithm is shoving them down. And I just saw where Pinterest is not going to allow people to search for anti-vaccine information.
What?
Now, I wouldn't be surprised if Facebook is following suit on this, too. I mean, I can remember.
Hold on. Step back there. I'm sorry, Henry. Anti-vaccine?
Right. There's a certain
there's a big movement
that
they
feel
yeah.
that we are being pushed to too many vaccines, mm-hmm. and it can go to the extreme, anywhere from the
Fair
extreme
enough.
To what I would consider a lesser extreme. The extreme might be that you don't want your child to have anything, and you hold it back, or you could be at what I consider a pretty reasonable point of view, is that maybe some of the big pharmaceutical companies will push a vaccine when it either is limited of necessity or not had enough testing.
Then try and get your kid enrolled in school.
And one of the – well, yeah. Well, that's what I mean. But there are some that are not you should be able to research it and not be censored out. I remember a time when the Internet allowed you to look for everything.
Yeah.
And now we're being shut down.
That goes
down.
Back to the whole thing of the censorship, regardless if you like somebody or not, regardless if you like their opinion, regardless if they're a racist or a bigot, censorship is a slippery slope because where does it stop?
Well, let me, the measles virus is a very dangerous virus. And if you want to kill a bunch of people, just don't vaccinate kids for measles or for mumps, for that matter. Those are dangerous things.
Well, smallpox.
Smallpox is another matter.
You keep moving the bar here, but let me be the contrarian here. My kids had the measles vaccine. I'm not an extremist on this where I said, oh, no, not my kids. I'm not that concerned with the measles vaccine. But this is how I think the economic factors play out. When I was, every kid in my class got measles, and the next class over, and the next class over. But when I got measles, everybody's mom stayed home. They were talking 1965, and so there was someone at home.
Are you exaggerating 1965?
To monitor, well, I 65, 66, I don't know. anyway, but there was a mom at home to stay with the kids. And it was considered just routine, whether it was measles, mumps, chickenpox, you just stayed home. It was like a week vacation from school, and by halfway through, you're playing around the house, but your mom won't let you go back to school. I say there's an economic imperative now that, A, the schools don't want to have the absences because it reduces their funding. Parents don't want it to happen because they need that income coming in. And, again, I want to reiterate, I'm not telling you not to get measles. My kids got measles vaccines. But I'm just saying it should be an open discussion to ask the questions, are there other factors that are going into it. And so when I look back when Gardasil, the HPV, the vaccine, was introduced around 2004 or 2005, and the state of Texas, under Governor Rick Perry, mandated that all students be getting it at a cost of about $300 per student, and starting with middle school age kids, human papillomavirus, which is a sexually transmitted virus, and it was just one strain of it. I thought it was a reasonable question to ask, well, gee, a former Merck executive that owns the patent to Gardasil is on the staff of Governor Perry's office,
and he's the point person on
trying to roll this out. So my question wasn't not don't get have your kid have it, but maybe there's an economic motive behind them rolling it out on one of the largest state populations of children in the country as the testing group.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that was a long way to go because saying you can't – we're getting it censored and shut down as – from what we thought was going to open up a thousand flowers of information.
Yeah. censorship's a slippery slope. Well, once you start censoring one person, regardless if you agree or disagree with them,
it's not about censorship. And when there's they can't induce or enforce censorship anyway. Because
yes, you can.
They can on Twitter, Facebook.
Yes.
Well, I'm talking about is there's a movement among a group of people who totally oppose the vaccination. Period.
Yeah. And what's their right?
Well, it may be their right, but the point is, when you have a health issue in certain circumstances, then you really have a contest of will, and that's the state or federal issue on health.
All right, so let me
answer that, because this is a good question. This is a slippery slope that we get into. If you're, we found out the hard way at a restaurant that you're not allowed to hire anybody under 17 because we serve beer.
Yeah.
We didn't know that. And the DBPR lady that came in and asked us, was very nice lady there.
They can't wash dishes?
They can't even wash dishes. They can't be a busser. So what we've allowed the government to do is to decide whether a child, instead of the parents deciding whether the child can work at a restaurant, we've allowed the government to decide. And this
which
has
government
nothing
are we
to do
talking
DBPR.
About? Which government?
The Florida State. Florida.
State of Florida.
State of Florida. Now, they didn't even go to, they went to the next extreme. If you're 17 and you want to work in a restaurant that serves beer or wine, guess whose permission you need?
I have no idea.
You think it'd be your parents,
principal.
Right? The principal.
Of
the principal of your school must give you permission the principal now is overriding the parent's decision.
So if the kid's in college, you can't go to the principal.
Well, I mean, if you're 17 years old, once you're 18, they can't say anything. But at 17 years old, the government says, the government decides whether or not your child can work in a restaurant or not.
Okay.
And that's the slippery slope we get with everything. With when you start to take away somebody's freedom, it starts to slide down the rest.
See, when
of the
I
roads.
Got a waiter job at 17, way, way back,
it
worked out great because you didn't require people to show their driver's license to hire them back then.
Yeah. Well, at 15 years old, I was washing dishes in a little Italian restaurant.
Let me just say one other thing to Augie. You can respond, but and then we'll wrap it up because we really need to get back to the what I spent the time preparing for. it was just the common discussion. Whether among my parents and other adults, that measles was dangerous for older people, and they did not worry about kids having measles, and it was, and so what you're saying is that if you don't vaccinate these kids, they're going to expose older people who have been vaccinated, and eventually we'll get to having, if we do it long enough, we'll have old people that haven't been vaccinated, But why don't the old people just get the vaccination then?
I'm not a medical person, but that becomes.
All right. Let's move on. But it does set up the big data companies that are slowly gaining more and not so slowly gaining more and more control over life. So that takes us to the story about one of the biggest companies in the world, at least the one that
Amazon.
Touches one of the biggest. Well, Amazon is a different issue these days, but. We have talked about Amazon and what would happen if they tried to create their own cryptocurrency. Would they have instantly created a global currency?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't have to speculate if there's anybody that wants to do it because now the New York Times has reported, and lesser, I won't say lesser credible, but lesser well-known media have already talked about Facebook and the job postings and wanting people thinking they're creating their own cryptocurrency. Well, now the New York Times comes out with this. Now, this was a pretty lengthy story for the New York Times, and there's a lot of ground to cover here, but we'll get to the discussion as fast as we can. And it's not just Facebook. Some of the biggest internet messaging companies are hoping to create their own digital currencies. Facebook is the biggest, but Telegram, which also has a great reach, and to a lesser extent Signal, which for people that don't know, the founder of that was one of the founders of WhatsApp before it got sold to Facebook. And right now, Signal, many people consider the app to go to for true privacy on your messaging. Anyway, they all want to create a cryptocurrency or a proprietary cryptocurrency to send money to contacts on their messaging systems, much like you can do with Venmo or PayPal. But the project is underway at Facebook, and the company is working on a coin that users of WhatsApp, which Facebook owns, could send to friends and family instantly. Five people briefed on the effort spoke on the condition of anonymity, as is the want of most reporting these days, because of confidentiality agreements, which they are going to break and tell the reporter about. But thank you for that. The Facebook project is far enough along that the giant has held conversations with cryptocurrency exchanges. So this is a little bit different than the other two projects with Telegram and Signal, in that Facebook coin, we can call it that, would be, if they go into these arrangements with cryptocurrency exchanges, they're hoping to eliminate some of the regulatory issues that they'd have to oversee if they were the ones handling this. On the other hand, if they do it that way, if they allow other exchanges to trade the Facebook coin, then you have the whole thing about regulatory problems or issues that could come in with not knowing who is using it, could it be used for illegal activities, things like that. Well, also, besides the three American companies that we're talking about, you also have South Korea and Japan with a messaging app that I haven't heard of, but they're evidently pretty big over there, Kakao and Line, and I'm guessing that's South Korea and Japan respectively. Anyway, they have a reach that would dwarf the reach of almost any other bank or financial institution. And some estimates that the three American companies, or I shouldn't say three American because Telegram is a Russian company that has great penetration in Russia, I mean, and in the United States and beyond,
Wait, Telegram's a Russian company?
It's not. It's founded by a Russian.
Oh, okay.
Who was originally setting it up in not opposition to the government, but out of the control of the government, sort of a place for dissidents or people that are you know, not all on board with the Russian government. Anyway, the estimated users for the three companies that I started the story about is 2.7 billion people. Now, I don't know, what is the, about 8 billion people in the world now, Augie?
Yeah, around 8. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so about a third of the world's population.
Wow.
Could,
India and China, right?
Yeah. Could, well, and with China, the WeChat messaging system is already a dominant payment system there. So we already covered some of the issues. Banks, of course, would be threatened by this. And Facebook currently has more than 50 engineers working on the project, according to people familiar with it. Facebook has an office with separate key card access. That doesn't sound all that ominous to me. I mean, most businesses that.
Top secret.
Yeah. Bloomberg was the first to report this a while back. Several other companies are trying their own stablecoin. Oh, one of the things that's interesting about how the Facebook coin, and you know, one of the things I talked about in past shows with, and if there was ever an Amazon currency, how you could buy products around the world with this. Well, Facebook is planning on pegging the coin to a basket of currencies, U.S. and other foreign currencies, so that it will be either easy to transact across national borders, which, again, is a whole other regulatory sphere that yeah, maybe why they want to pass it off to cryptocurrency exchanges. Anyway, they're hoping to get the product out, according to what the sources said, that Facebook has told the exchanges they hope to launch the project within the first half of the year, which we're well into the first half of the year now. So we can talk a little bit about why they might do that, how they're doing it, but just your thoughts on it as the concept in general.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting concept. I don't know if it's, you know, going to replace currencies. Right. Maybe it'll help in transaction of them. I could see that. But something has to be pegged to it. I think into one of these, you know, I think that's why, like, kind of some of the stable coins.
Well, that's what they're saying, a basket of currencies.
It's a basket of currencies, so it'll be a stable coin. I could see the need for that, but, you know, I don't know. I'm mixed on it. And to be honest with you, I'm not as attuned as maybe someone like Steven Lupka into this, but I just don't see a need for it when I can use my Apple Pay anywhere.
Okay.
I mean, to me, it all comes down to United States dollars in the end.
Let's say you owned 5% of Facebook. Would you see a need for it?
I was thinking about it just when you were saying that. I was looking at the Facebook chart. Of course I would be looking at that because, of course, it's going to be hyped up and it's going to be all that and definitely would shoot the stock up. But as far as the practical use for it, I mean, what would I use it for? I'm going to tip. Oh, Henry posted something good. You could already do that.
All right. Well, Facebook has its own marketplace. It's not as vibrant as Amazon as far as the things.
See, Amazon, I could actually see a little bit more of a.
But every day, Facebook sends me some messages. Hey, somebody's selling a car in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Hey, don't you want? So you'd have that. But also, if it's pegged to a basket of currencies and it's in the digital ether somewhere, how do we really not know if Facebook wants to move millions of dollars into a third world country or billions of dollars into a first world country and start to influence activities there? I don't know. Augie, what do you think?
well, you know what Estonia has done. They've relocated their database into, I think, Brussels or somewhere over there to avoid being shut down electronically through cyber war. So people are considering these kind of massive changes of corporations and playing with government. And then, of course, Russia itself is always threatened Estonia. That's another government. But when corporations start doing it, such as Facebook becoming that kind of corporation, now you've got a new kind of destabilizing as opposed to regulatory promise, a threat. Anyway, those are just considerations.
Well, ARK Investment is one of those mutual funds whose research I follow a lot, and they had a couple brief points about this because they've discussed it among themselves. And they said WeChat Pay and PayPal's Venmo, which are big services, WeChat much bigger than Venmo, but still big services that are successful. They said they didn't have to create a cryptocurrency.
No, that's what I'm saying.
So that asked the question, why would Facebook want to do this? Well, they could be building a cryptocurrency for the masses that is easy to use and stable, okay, but it could be targeting the $600 billion remittance market. Okay, well, that makes sense, but that still hasn't say why a cryptocurrency. Well, how about the data it's going to provide Facebook
data, yeah.
when they know everything you spend your money on?
Well, what is data worth, anyway? I
mean, data makes the world go round these days.
That's why I asked the question.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I don't know if I'm buying stuff with Facebook coin, because the bottom line is, where am I going to buy something? If I'm going to buy something online, at Walmart.com, I have Amazon, I have eBay. I may look at Etsy. I do like Etsy. And that's pretty much it. That's my shopping thing.
Huh.
I mean, now I may go to a Pets.com, or not Pets.com, the one that sells the dog stuff and that. I may go to one of those. But everything else, I mean, pretty much everything you get on Walmart, Amazon, and eBay, or and then if you want something fancy, you go to Etsy.
And it's likely you may even be getting health insurance from Amazon at some point in time. And either
you know, they sound more and more like Sears every day.
Well, one of the things, Augie asked about data, here's some other data that Amazon could collect. And this was by an expert on artificial intelligence and healthcare issues. You know, we have, Apple has a watch, wearable, you monitor your heart, and, you know, useful, keeps you healthy, et cetera. It said that you now, Amazon, when you're on their site, could monitor your mouse movements. As you move your mouse, it will be able to record all that data and how you move across the screen.
You know.
And then, wait for this. It will start, say, you know, now you get a, 10 years from now, you get a little bit up there, or say 10 years from now, Augie and I get up there, and we start to get a little Parkinson's, just a tinge. But now the mouse doesn't move as fast. And the AI algorithm that Amazon has developed will know that. It'll know that it's there's an aberration.
Something's changed, yeah.
And but now Amazon is selling you your insurance too. And it has access to your medical records. Yeah. And it now knows more about your risk to them as a health insurance consumer.
Well, you know where my Amazon Alexa is. Still in the box.
Yes.
I mean, still in the box. And actually, you know, it's kind of interesting, and I think you're seeing a lot of things. It's coming off this whole thing with – this kind of goes even with the New York, getting pushed out of New York, and now Virginia's kind of pushing them out. My daughter, who is a big Amazon fan, everything came from Amazon. I mean, she'd order oil from her car, it'd be coming from Amazon. And she canceled her Amazon Prime.
Too expensive?
No, she said they're spying on you. I'm like, well, duh. I've been telling you that for years. That's why when you bought me the Alexa, I put it still in the box, you know. But my daughter even is canceled. So I think you're going to start seeing a backlash of it. And what company is out there that says, we don't spy on you?
And how will you get away from it?
Apple.
No.
Oh, Apple doesn't spy on you.
Yeah, you do your Apple thing. But what about the Internet of Things that are in the building you're working in with all the audio sensors?
Yeah, you know, you can't get away from it.
Yeah. The facial recognition and the heartbeat that it picked up when you came through and all the other things.
Now, what,
you
know, let me ask,
you're going to be assimilated.
Let me ask
just
a very
give up.
Practical question. What? If you are going to tape record somebody or record somebody, you have to have their permission, supposedly, under law.
It depends what state
not
you're in.
Not in public
but yes.
space.
Right.
Depends what state.
So if you find out that if a restaurant is putting a recorder in to listen to anybody
to
and everybody. Pardon?
You just have to put a sign up.
If you don't put a sign up, you're breaking the law.
Well, if let's say we're doing this and I want to record you,
right.
And I have Henry over there, and it's a three-way conversation, I tell Henry, I'm recording the conversation. only one person, other person than me, needs to know about the conversation. We can record you without your knowledge.
Really?
Yes.
You're sure of that?
It's some statistics.
But we will have signs everywhere we go.
Yeah.
Well, I was just at a restaurant.
Where they?
And here's another thing: is I could actually take on my video, and I could start recording a video and just face it at the wall, and record all the audio in here. And because it's a videotape with audio, that's not illegal.
So that's incidental.
But let's get to one more quick story here before we go to a break. So I asked at the beginning of the show, what does Kroger's have to do with cryptocurrency? Well, we just talked about big corporations and cryptocurrencies. U.S. market chain Kroger Company on Friday, last Friday, said its Smith's Food and Drug Stores division will stop accepting Visa's credit cards as of April 3rd because of excessive transaction fees. Kroger had already stopped accepting Visa credit cards in its food company stores in California in August last year because of the price dispute over the fees. At Smith's, which is a subsidiary of Kroger, Visa's credit card fees are higher than any other credit card brand that we accept, said the chief financial officer, and they can't go unchecked anymore. The Smith subsidiary has 130 stores in the U.S., also says MasterCard and Visa have another round of fee hikes slated for April, which will be levied on merchant banks, not on the merchants directly, although banks would pass on the fee hike to the sellers if they want to avoid absorbing it themselves.
Yeah.
So
let me tell you, it's a hoax.
I will ask you that in a second. But what does this have to do with cryptocurrency? Well, we just talked about Facebook wanting to usurp the payment process. We have all these other things. Square app. Square app, by the way, has doubled the number of users since last year. You can have your paycheck direct deposited into your Square app.
Love Square.
You know, it's everything but a bank account and name. Here we have an opportunity because Visa seems to want to milk the market a little bit too much to give these other payment systems a way in.
You know, I think that the big thing is, and that's what cryptocurrency solves. It really does. And especially something like Litecoin that's fast in that. And as a merchant owner, as a restaurant owner, which we deal with credit card processing consistently, and it's a huge portion, it's more than 50% of our revenue is credit card. Probably 60 or 70% of the revenue that we get is credit cards.
And what does the bank take?
And the bank takes about 2% of that. Okay. So you think about that. Say you're doing $1 million a year in business. That's $20,000 a year of profit.
Think about it like this. It's hard for most businesses to even make more than 3 or 4 or 5% profit. And you're giving half 2% of your potential profit.
That's right. You're giving a lot of your profit away. That's why I like cryptocurrencies. The other thing that, and we don't have this issue in our restaurant because of the clientele we have, but if, let's say, Augie comes in and he looks on a statement and goes, I don't remember that, and Augie calls up the credit card thing, they backcharge the restaurant.
Right.
So there's another loss. So if you're like one of the bigger steakhouses and you get the credit card fraud, it's not your fault as a restaurant owner, but Visa doesn't eat that. Visa doesn't eat that. They backcharge it to the merchant.
Yep. And even if you win the appeal the first time and he appeals a second, they're not going to fight over it.
You know, they don't fight over it. They just go ahead and backcharge. What are you going to do? You have to go through in the process.
Well, you do what Kroger's did.
Say. Yeah. Take cryptocurrencies.
They're still taking the debit card.
The debit card, yes.
Is there a difference in the
fee? Yeah, they don't charge you any fee because it's a direct out of your bank.
Okay. All right, that's good to know. Let's go to a break. I don't know if Andy's going to be able to stick around.
No, I can't, but thank you, Henry, for having me. I got to go pick up Gator. Dinner night with Gator. You didn't know I had a grandson, did you?
You got a football player?
Henry said you did.
Yeah, he's going to be a football player. We all dream of your grandson being a football player.
I mean, flag football, right?
Probably, yes, yeah. Soccer, anyways.
There you go.
But thank you again, Henry, and we'll see you next week.
Yes, Talking Markets and the Henry Rain Show right here on WWPR. And we will, after the break, continue with Augie. And the fact that, guess what? Speaking of data, since Augie asked, turns out Coinbase is releasing your data. Well, it isn't. Their vendor they hired has been selling the data without their permission. More about that in just a moment. You're listening to the Henry Rain Show. If we play Bitcoin, enjoy the trading and investment ideas you hear on Talking Markets with Mark and Andy, then you're going to want to become a member of their SeekingCryptos.com membership service. And you can join for absolutely free. When you sign up for a free membership at SeekingCryptos.com, you'll start receiving analysis and perspective by email on trade examples, cryptocurrencies, stocks, metals, educational content, and exclusive offers. SeekingCryptos.com has something for you advanced traders, too. Check out the premium membership, the expert swing trades, or the Quant Geeks packages. Seeking Cryptos have skin in the game just like you. They post their trades in real time, and you can follow the results right on their portfolio page. So what are you waiting for? Go to SeekingCryptos.com and sign up for your free membership now. If you're a business owner, you need to start listening right now to find out how a few feet of empty floor space can turn into a steady stream of both money and new faces into your business. Hosting a Bifederal Bitcoin ATM gives you a leg up on your competition by giving your location a destination-oriented visitor that will come back time and time again. Frequent Bitcoin ATM customers become frequent shoppers in your storefront. To find out more, just call 877-855-BYTE, B-Y-T-E, or 877-855-2983, and you'll be talking to the same local business experts you've heard on the Henry Raines Show. Or just go to BikeFederal.com and fill out the simple form to begin hosting a Bitcoin ATM in your business. Don't wait. Start earning new revenue and seeing new customers right away. Call 877-855-BYTE, B-Y-T-E. That's 877-855-2983, or go to BikeFederal.com.
Alcobra Massage has been providing quality massage therapy in Bradenton for over 5 years, and we are proud and excited to announce we've expanded our practice and boutique to a larger facility. Located at the historic downtown Bradenton, we're in a charming craftsman-style building across the street from the Spring Hill Suites by Marriott. Alcobra Massage offers many treatment rooms, a spacious lobby, and doorfront parking spaces just for our clients. But what we're most proud of is our highly qualified massage therapists offering great service to our valued clients. Availability and instant booking is found at lauraalcover.com. Alcover Massage. Like us on Facebook, 204 13th Street West, Bradenton, Florida, 34205. Book your appointments now at lauraalcover.com or call us at 941-592-3187. MM number 34081. MA number 50525.
Hey, this is Brian. I listen to it every week. I really like it. Me and my wife, we just stop our cars every Saturday at 12 o'clock. Make sure we listen to the show. It's great. I'm learning a lot about these cryptocurrencies. Keep on listening.
Well, hopefully Brian is no longer blocking traffic on Saturdays. And he is tuning in on Mondays to hear the Henry Raines Show. Of course, Monday is the day to listen to WWPR 1490 AM, starting at 4 o'clock with Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew, with not just cryptocurrency, but foreign currency exchange, stocks, options, commodities, gold, and more. And then, of course, we come on right now. Augie returning to the studio after a extended hiatus, taking care of some personal business. But he's back, and I don't know, maybe he's the kinder and gentler Augie, but I'm not thinking so much. I think he's just getting warmed up. Anyway, we wanted to get into at least one more story here, and that's about this new hashtag. And I know Augie is on Twitter a lot, but he probably hasn't traveled in the same tweet circles as the hashtag delete Coinbase has been traveling in. It's been making the rounds across crypto Twitter as Bitcoin users close their accounts, or at least say they're closing their accounts over this. The users are upset with Coinbase for acquiring a company called Neutrino because the blockchain analytics outfit's executive suite. Now, that rolls off the tongue. It's a blockchain analytics outfit. Not quite sure what that does, but they must analyze stuff on the blockchain. Their CEO is Giancarlo Russo. Chief Technical Officer is Alberto Arnaghi. And CRO is Marco Valeri. I'm thinking Italy is going to play into this somewhere along here.
Yeah, the middle name isn't Italian, but the other two are. Yeah.
Previously spearheaded projects for a startup called the Hacking Team, which, you know, has its own connotations when you say it. They sold spyware to several governments known for human rights abuses. The Washington Post reported the Hacking Team worked directly with the Saudi Arabian government.
Oh, surprise.
Including the enforcement group that allegedly murdered dissident journalist Jamal Khashoggi.
What friends we have.
Yes, well, friends that do business with a company called Neutrino. The startup's website touted, quote, a hacking suite for government interception, describing its wares as, quote, offensive technology.
It's pretty offensive.
Yes. The spyware also aided surveillance arrests of journalists in Ethiopia, and the United Arab Emirates. Well,
yeah. They just announced a new one that's been, they discovered has been tortured and what have you. So.
Yeah. Well, it goes on to say that last month, Coinbase's Director of Engineering and Product, Varun Srinivasan, told CoinDesk that Neutrino would allow Coinbase to expand cryptocurrency listings quickly while retaining data analysis services in-house. In a statement to the block, Coinbase spokesperson said the company was aware of Neutrino's team's past, but felt the significance of this business opportunity outweighed that consideration. So, you know, sure, they help governments torture people and murder people.
That's nothing.
Think of the benefits to your Coinbase account. You're going to be able to trade more coins. More, you know, you need to be able to trade that 50 cent cryptocurrency that you just now heard of because Coinbase is trading them. Indeed, the reputational risks were not hidden. In 2013, the nonprofit Reporters Without Borders called Hacking Team one of the top five corporate enemies of the Internet. Although, we are probably since 2013, we're getting some more enemies of the Internet as we go along, for its role in helping various government crackdown on critics, including situations in the Sudan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Mexico, just to name a few. I didn't know they would do anything bad in Mexico.
No.
They're our neighbor.
No, those are just Mexicans down there.
Well, for the most part.
For the most part.
Then in 2017, Italy's Ministry of Economic Development, well, you know, they probably just needed to use the services to crack down on the drug cartels to keep your children safe or your grandchildren, whoever they are, great-grandchildren. Italy's Ministry of Economic Development stated that the Hacking Team's exports of surveillance technologies to countries like Egypt posed a clear risk to human rights abroad. All right, so if you haven't been listening, or maybe you have been listening and you don't know how to put the dots together, let's go back to the statement by the Coinbase CEO. That's the guy, or rather not the Coinbase CEO, excuse me. I over-scrolled my story here. It was the Director of Engineering and Product, Varun Srinivasan. They knew the company's past, but felt the significance of the business opportunity, a.k.a. the profits, outweighed the consideration.
Well, why would that happen?
Well, what happened next, though, is that hashtag delete Coinbase started. And, you know, okay, got more and more play on Twitter. And who knows how many people actually deleted their Coinbase accounts, because you'd have to have another account to send it to, or you know, they have 13 million users, and it's debatable whether this has actually caused them any inconvenience. But there is one sign that, because they decided to explain in more detail that, you know, the business opportunities just aren't all about profit, Augie.
Well, really?
No, there's other things that come.
Something more noble?
Yeah, well, yes. You're personal, their consumer, their customer's well-being. They're all about the customer's well-being as well as profits, because after the recent controversial acquisition, Coinbase has led to criticism. They came out with a different statement. They said, we are aware of Neutrina's co-founders previously working. This is sort of a review of the what they said, another way of saying, which we viewed as part of security, technical, and hiring diligence. We knew about it because we do due diligence at Coinbase.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Emphasizing the primary reason why Coinbase acquired. Some people of shallower minds would have thought it was about the profits.
Oh, no.
But they revealed that Coinbase had to drop its current tracking providers as they were selling customer data without authorization.
There's the word, data.
Yeah, so in the due diligence they did for their previous provider of tracking information, they did not discover until too late that they were gathering the data that the Coinbase customer was doing.
They just discovered that.
Yes, well, I mean, they discovered it at some point along the way, and they had to take action, so they thought, well, if you can't trust who we have, trust the company that the dictators trust.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, because when you want to murder a journalist or you want to round up the dissidents, you need a company you can count on.
And you have to believe their words because they're saying it so seriously.
Well, and, you know, it's not like corrupt Washington where they just throw money at companies.
Oh, absolutely.
They got to pinch pennies in places like Egypt and the Sudan. They want to get their dollars or whatever the currency is worth. Anyway, so they continued the statement here. It is important for us to migrate away from our current providers. They were selling client data to outside sources, and it was compelling for us to get control over that and have proprietary technology that we could leverage to keep the data safe and protect our clients, which now they have not hired this other company. They bought it. They have brought these people into the Coinbase fold. These talented people are now in Coinbase where they can be rehabilitated and re-educated
and
do great things.
Stroked.
Yes. Now, we are right up against the wall. I got to get out of here, and we're going to stay tuned for whatever comes next here on 1490 WWPR. You're listening to The Henry Rains Show.